Words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a place in Ephesians where this little phrase that's so important, it says, in whom, talking of Jesus, we have continually, that's the language there, redemption. Redemption is a profound word because it carries much more weight than just forgiveness. Redemption is all about Jesus saying in Revelation that he makes all things new. He's always making all things new. And redemption is the ability to take a mess and make something new and extraordinary out of it. Not just forgive, but to transform it into something new. And particularly it speaks to the idea of transforming a person's story. Not just a situation, but their story. Into his story. Because you have to remember that as Christians in Christ, Jesus didn't come to live in you to live your story through you, but to live his story through you. And he has a way of redeeming all things so that it fits back into his story, which has an extravagant destiny. The book of Ruth is all about redemption. Those of you who've been around CTK for a while have heard us talk about the book of Ruth many times, but in the end, especially with the book of Ruth as an example, redemption means that God's ability, God's commitment to overrule, to restore, and to overrule for good all the loss occasioned by my sin or the sins of others that have affected me. That's redemption. It's a powerful thing. And the book of Ruth is about kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer is, there's a lot to say. Just throw out these little things, trust the Holy Spirit will make him explode inside of us. A kinsman redeemer, you can only be a kinsman redeemer. You can only redeem a person's story in the book of Ruth if there are three things going on. One, you're wealthy enough, you have the ability to redeem their story. Two, you have the right. You have to be related. Jesus, one of the reasons he became a man is so that he could express proven tenderness, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was tempted in every way like unto us. He understands our human story, not just from sovereign, omniscient God, because he himself lived out a human story. And the willingness that you care enough. Power, right, willingness. In the book of Ruth, there's a man named Boaz, who is the type of Jesus, who is the kinsman redeemer. He had the ability, he was wealthy, influential, powerful, eventually became the great-grandfather of David. He had the right because he was related, he was kin, and he certainly had the willingness. Ruth was a Moabitess. When Elimelech and Naomi moved from Israel into Moab, which he was not supposed to do, that was rebellion on his part, her two sons, Chilion and Mahlon, married these two women, Orpah and Ruth. And Ruth was married to a guy named Mahlon, one of Ruth's sons. Both of her sons died at an early age, and so her young husband, Ruth's young husband, Mahlon, died. Tragic. Not her fault. Wasn't anything because she had done. Just part of the fall. And at some point, in an impoverished condition, having had her husband die, Naomi's husband, both of her sons die, she decides to go back to Israel, where they were supposed to have been. And Ruth goes with her, both impoverished. And what Naomi's plan is, they can find a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, that can redeem them out of their mess and situation. And so Ruth discovers Boaz, and at some point, and when you get to chapter 3, Naomi tells Ruth, look, you go ask him to marry you. Ask him to redeem your story, your situation. And so, of course, the story is that she goes to him, and he does do that. And the result was that Ruth, out of this impoverished place, having lost the first love of her life, ends up marrying this powerful, influential man and becomes the great, great grandmother of David and, of course, the ancestor of Jesus himself. Pretty good ending. Here's the thing about the kingdom of God. I love the kingdom of God and I love redemption because what redemption promises are happy endings. The kingdom of God is full of happy endings in the midst of a world full of tragedy and confusion, things that happen out of our control. Because in the hands of our Boaz, he has the ability to miraculously bring about happy endings when you have no idea how in the world that could ever happen. When you're standing in the midst of loss and tragedy and trauma that you may have contributed to by your own behavior, or maybe it was all the result of the behaviors of somebody else or circumstances in life. Because it says this in Ruth chapter 3. I'll just mention it. But Naomi, her mother-in-law, says to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? And now is not Boaz your kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor. Wash yourself, therefore, anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes." But she'd been wearing mourning clothes for all this time. "Go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he's in the middle of the night, and then ask him to redeem you." Now here's the point. And all that is to say this. This is about our Redeemer, our Boaz. I've been pretty removed from life, outside life, for about 3 weeks now. Livy came home yesterday, and so we're home. But it's full of getting up all night long, filling up stuff. But I'm aware of some of the things that have gone on, conscious of what's happening, and that carries great confusion, great tragedy and trauma. But all of our lives often have things that go on that are a result of either decisions that we've made or decisions of other made that affect us. And what do we make of all that? I mean, there are so many books and theology. I'm coming to the place where I'm going to skim books and just tell you what it says here. And I don't care if it fits anybody else's theology or not. Here's the deal. This is the transcendent truth about redemption. There's nowhere in the book of Ruth where God gives an explanation to her why her husband died, why she experienced all that trauma. I don't know we can always understand the why did this happen in this fallen world. We can write books about this and the goodness of God or the sovereignty of God or the free will of man or lack thereof. Yada, 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 boom, ba boom, ba boom. But at some point, what's God going to do with this? And that's the real story. And in her life, here's the transcendent truth. That the mess that we sometimes, or trauma, create, or maybe is totally the result of the behavior or the action of others, don't disqualify us for God's extravagant destiny for us. But somehow, once in the hands of our kinsman redeemer, it actually miraculously positions us for the extravagant destiny that God has always had for us, that somehow we thought maybe we were going to miss out on because of what's happened. She could have stayed married to Malan all of her life. I'm sure that's what she wanted. She had dreams and plans and thoughts and ideas, but it just didn't happen. Why? I don't know. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is, what can God do with it? And in the hands of the Redeemer, she ended up, because she wasn't married to Malan anymore, she ended up marrying Boaz. The ancestor of Jesus, the great-grandfather of David, this man of great wealth and influence. At the end of chapter 4, it's decreed about her, "The enemy will no longer step on your territory. You will be a person of fame, fruitfulness, and influence." She may have thought that all of her dreams were lost, all of her plans were done, and again, practically, we may think that at times in our life because of our actions, And maybe the actions of others or the actions of government or the actions of the stock market. But in the hands of our Redeemer, He somehow miraculously takes the craziest, most inexplicable, painful, evil-feeling looking stuff. And instead of it disqualifying us and robbing us from His story, somehow He uses it to propel us into the extravagant experience of His destiny and story for us. Now here's the problem. I can't explain that. Therefore, I don't think anybody should write a book about it. It's just what the Bible says. And I've seen it happen over and over again. God's goodness always prevails. That's what a kinsman redeemer does. Do I believe that she thought of Malan the rest of her life at times? For sure. But I also believe she celebrated Boaz. And the destiny that she somehow miraculously landed in. That she may never have experienced. If the thief on the cross, would he have met Jesus if it had been a shopkeeper in the streets of Jerusalem? But because of the crimes that he committed and the stuff that he had done, he found himself next to Jesus and he heard Jesus say a gazillion times, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them. And at some point he gets it and he says, Lord, remember me this day in your kingdom. And Jesus said, you will be with me today in paradise. What looked like an absolute failure, hanging on the cross next to Jesus. Maybe there were friends and family and others standing there wagging their heads going, man, what a tragedy. What loss, what trauma, what horror. And there's truth to that. What waste. Behind the scenes, God was doing something that trumps it all. Overrules it all. And in that place of great tragedy and trauma, he encountered his destiny. And today, prays for you and I in paradise. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.